I was kind of hoping for twins even the second time.
Why?
I don't know. It'd be nice to have two extras. I mean,
this isn't going anywhere.
No, 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 no. And the delay, there is a delay on Amber's, I think.
Yeah.
It could what'd be that, say? Or it could just be that I'm kind of tired. So there's also that.
And not engaged in this. So we have to get a cold open out of this quickly.
Did you just say engaged?
Ooh.
Who's engaged? What?
Tie-in. I said, yeah. I said you're not engaged in the conversation and we're doing engagement stuff.
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't even
I
mean
see
that.
What you did there.
No, yeah. I didn't see what I did there.
Well, somebody saw it.
I saw it.
Adam.
Man. Read between the lines. That's what I do.
Welcome to episode 161 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany, and with me as always is
Adam in Vancouver, Canada.
And we're lucky enough to have a guest with us today, Amber.
It's Amber in Vancouver.
Amber, I don't think we even need to intro Amber. She's back. She's been here a few times on the show. And so if you haven't heard her yet, listen back. And we're happy to have her.
It's good to be back.
Okay. We are experiencing a slight delay, so if it sounds awkward, it's not her fault. It's Adam's.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just...
All awkwardness will be directed to Adam.
Yeah. 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 I'm actually like just staring right at her, so that's always weird.
Awkward.
We're both in Vancouver, so...
Yeah. Know. Wow. Yeah. I don't know where to go from this, from the creepy part. What's going on, Adam?
Not much.
Okay, good. What's going on, Amber?
Yeah.
Not much for me either. It's the slow season right now. You know, I'm not really shooting. I did a portrait session last week. That was about it. So it's just really like nonstop meetings, which is basically like going on blind date after blind date after blind date. So meetings, bookings, all that sort of good stuff, working on the business.
But you get paid. You get paid for all these meetings, right?
Well, you do when people book you, yes.
There you go. This is the time that is not factored in when you know you get your first camera and you get out there and you think, oh, I'm going to go be a wedding photographer, for example. I mean, they make a ton of money. You see what they make on that one Saturday? That's all they do is that one Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that one Saturday.
And then you look and, yeah, December through March is spent going on meetings, potentially booking people.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a busy time, just not as much creative, I'm guessing.
No, exactly. There's just a lot of behind the scenes work that you got to do and all the stuff that you can work on during the busy season when you're doing nothing but images.
Mm-hmm. Great. So nothing going on here. It got cold again, Adam, if you want to know the weather.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I had actually did have something worth mentioning. Today I did a class portrait for my daughter's class because they had a teacher who was covering for a mat leave and today was her last day.
Mm-hmm.
So the school photos, I guess, don't happen till March, but they wanted to have a class photo taken with the teacher that was going to be leaving. So the parents that were in the know asked me if I would come down and take a class photo. So that was interesting because there was 25, 6 to 7 year olds that we had to, you know, orchestrate in the library and get a group shot. So, and in all of about 8 minutes because they only really had access to the library where no one was going to beat it right at the end of the day. So, yeah, we did that and it actually turned out pretty well. So I was happy.
How did you corral 25, 6 year olds?
Well, there was a couple of other parents. So I had a few helpers. So I mostly just set up my lights and tested the exposure and then just had them come in and set them up. It was sort of a layout where there's a couple of little steps. So it was perfectly set up. We didn't need chairs or anything. There was a like sort of a three-tiered place to sit. So we just basically moved them into the spot that I had set up and just went from there and yeah, did a couple of silly ones. I probably only took 10 photos, but I was happy with how they turned out.
And did they give you enough time to set up? Because my experience is always I tell them, hey, you know, give me 15 minutes. Don't come in until I come get you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I went there at 2:30 to the library because that's when we were allowed to access it. And I said for the, you know, for the parents to bring the kids down at 2:40. So I had 10 minutes to get ready. And then they brought them down right at 2:40 and I was done by 2:48 or 2:49 because dismissal's at 2:50. So
right.
We had that window to work in.
We all knew that that's when dismissal was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah. My experience is always they say, yeah, we'll bring them down at 2:40. And then at 2:30, they kind of roll in and go, yeah, we were a bit early.
Yeah, no, thankfully that did not happen.
Great. Did you, okay, that's what you, that leads us into the next segment there. Did you shoot anything?
That's what I shot. That's all I shot. I haven't taken any other photos this week. All so, right.
And yeah. Amber, did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Not this week, other than my son's first birthday. That's about it.
That's not interesting?
Well, it was interesting to me, but might not be as interesting to other people.
Oh, it's interesting. It's
interesting to everybody. Amber.
It is.
Well, I like to think so. But
how does a renowned wedding photographer go about shooting her first birthday for her son?
Well, actually, I only took a few photos, and if you must know, I actually had one of my other friends photograph it for me. I had a photographer at my wedding, at my birthday party.
That's good thinking.
Who was just so that I could just focus on what I was needing to do, take care of everything, get the cake out, all that, and then just know that the photos were being taken care of. I did, of course, though, manage to somehow end up with a camera in my hand at some point.
It's hard not to. We lost the beginning part there, but it's I think you said you had a friend come in and
yeah. Yeah, one of my friends, wedding photography friends, came in and shot it for me. So it felt kind of funny to have someone else being the photographer, but...
But it's the kind of thing where if you return the favor...
Exactly.
Everybody wins. And because this is the thing, is it's difficult. I found with my daughter's first birthday, you want to be present and experience the birthday.
Exactly. That was exactly it. And also, you know, I'm the host and I'm, you know, having to take care of all sorts of things. And it's really easy for me when I get a camera in my hands to just suddenly be behind the camera and just be focused on taking photos and and not on anything else. So it was nice. It got me out from behind the camera and actually be a part of the whole party. So
great.
Plus, you can then, you know, rip on any of the photos that your friend took if they don't turn out as awesome as they would have if you had taken them, you know?
You know, absolutely not.
No, that's just what
all
Al
the photos
and I
are just
do,
so. She is amazing. So,
just for the listener, we are experiencing a little connection issue, so the dropouts are again Adam's fault.
They're all part of the fun.
Yeah, we're gonna try to keep everybody informed as to what's being said.
It's Connect the Dots week.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. It's like Exifoku, but with one of the voices dropping out. So we're very excited about that.
Our Bring Back Exifoku shirt is going to be online soon.
No, it will not be. That can be one of the difficult things is watching the other people at any event. Where you're not the primary photographer, but watch them take photos and you just kind of cringe knowing, oh, they're not getting it.
Oh.
That is not the right lens for this situation. What are you doing?
Oh, seriously. I did have one situation a couple of years ago where I was a wedding guest and they had a wedding photographer who was just a friend. A friend who knew something, you know, could take good portraits, that sort of thing. And just watching him taking photos at the reception was one of the most painful things I have ever witnessed in my life. It was, I was cringing, and it all culminated to the point where Grandma, who was 92 years old, got on the dance floor and started dancing, and he was just standing there watching her.
Oh no.
He was just taking in the moment. And so I couldn't help myself. I grabbed my camera and I started taking photos and he looked at me like, oh, hey, that's a good idea. But continued to not take photos. It was painful.
Took photos of you taking photos.
Hey, good idea. I'm going to go take five.
Totally. You can email those to me later.
Yeah. Tell you what, I'll probably get grandma dancing at the 10 year anniversary party.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. She'll be shaking it at 102. Yeah, that is fingernails on a chalkboard for that situation. Wow. Skype.
Your skin crawl. You just momentarily by. Oh, am I dropping out again?
Yeah, again, not you. We don't want to point fingers.
At what point did you become half robot?
That was actually new for 2014.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like sometimes you turn into the speak and spell kid, or not kid, the guy when I was a kid, the speak and spell, like, yeah, you know what I mean.
I thought she was doing her Styx impersonation. Sounds great.
Yeah, no, I was upgraded to half cyborg for the new year.
Yeah.
No, that explains
figuring
it.
Would help with weddings.
All right. This week I shot those chicken pox pictures that we talked about, Adam.
Yes, I saw it. It was fantastic.
Oh, I had to trick her into doing it, of course.
Yeah, because she looked surprisingly happy.
I waited till the worst was over. Apparently all the feedback I'm getting is, hey, didn't you get your kid immunized for chicken pox?
Right.
Evidently, it's a normal thing. I'd never heard of it.
Okay.
It wasn't like on purpose. Like I just didn't. We got her immunized for everything else. You know, the normal stuff, cooties and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they don't recommend it here, the varicella or whatever, however you pronounce it.
Okay.
So there you go. That's it. That's our medical segment this week.
Great.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, took those.
Do you have any physiotherapy questions this week?
No. Did that make the show last week? No.
No, that didn't
make it on. And then we shot some, we went tobogganing for about 6 minutes. So we shot that too.
Great. Did Sam go as well?
Sam went. He didn't go on the toboggan though.
Oh.
No, we had to drive up to the little foothills sort of south of us called the Swabian Alps, the Schwäbische Alb. And yeah. To go up there and find the 1 centimeter of snow that has fallen. And so we did that, got up there, did about 4 runs. The kid was having fun, took a few pictures, and then mom dumped her over on her face. And that was the end of that.
And fun time was over.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I would like to go home now. And it's about a half hour drive. So we drove half hour, 6 minutes, mom flipped her. Half hour back.
Nice. I know.
Yeah. But I got some, but always my takeaway advice there is get your photos on that first run.
Yeah.
Because they might not happen.
That's right.
Get it while it's good.
Yeah. Well, that happens. I mean, that's kind of when you shoot, when I shoot weddings anyway, I kind of shoot a couple of pre-shots before the actual moment happens, just in case.
Absolutely. That's what I do too.
Adam doesn't.
No. I wait for it to be over. And then in the parking lot, I try to grab people.
The next day at the gift opening.
Yeah, yeah. Can you do that again?
Hey, Grandma, remember when you were dancing? Can you do it again?
But awkwardly here in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Remember when you did the worm?
It'll be the same. Totally the same.
Oh, Grandma. Yeah. Great. Photo challenge this week.
Right.
I forget whose idea it was. Mine, yours?
It was yours. Definitely yours.
Yeah, it was a last minute. It was a Hail Mary. It was a Doug Flutie, if anything.
Right.
At the end of the show. So we did object, which I was secretly hoping you were going to get like a lawyer standing up in court and you'd be like, oh man, I thought it was verb.
It actually occurred to me. Not a lawyer. I was going to do like a gavel or something, you know, something law-ish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I didn't.
Speaking of that,
I didn't have a gavel.
I thought you were going to call me out on last week's album art, by the way.
Why?
Matt did. Matt from a couple episodes ago sent me an email and he said, wow, the album cover for the Favorite Tool episode.
Yeah.
I used an Allen key.
Okay.
Very self-referential. I thought you were going to give me crap on that.
No, I didn't. Didn't think of it in that way.
No, now's your chance.
Yeah. Okay.
So object. I had something in mind that I told you at the very end of that show. I shot the radiator heater of my old apartment a long time ago, like 5 years ago in Vancouver. Okay. And I don't normally shoot objects. I don't normally like objects. I like people. The feeling isn't mutual, but this is one object that I happen to like, and it's one of, I think, two object photos on my wall. And so I thought, wow, I'm not going to be able to achieve this image, this quality again. And guess what? I didn't. But let's talk about ambers first.
Okay. Wow, that was a whole lead up into let's talk about ambers.
All right.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if she's
I didn't know where we were going with that.
Yeah. Well, it sounded, yeah, okay. Let's talk about Amber's shot first, because she has people, but it really is about an object. At first, I wasn't sure. Because I saw the thumbnail when she sent it and thought, wow, Amber, that's just out of focus people. I object.
I object.
But
I don't know. The thing I really like about that photo is the people in it. Because I mean, often when you take a photo of an object, like especially as a wedding photographer, I do have to photograph people, but I also have to be good at photographing objects, which are wedding dresses, the shoes, the bouquet, those sorts of things. And often it's just that item static by itself somewhere that's nice with good lighting, but there's no story around it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I really liked about that photo is that it is a photo of the dress. That's specifically why I was taking that photo, is I wanted a photo of the dress. But it, having the bride, having her makeup done in the foreground, it adds the story to what's going on and why that dress is there. And there's more to it than it's just a photo of a dress, which is, to me, it speaks to me more than your usual dress shot.
Mm-hmm. Dress shots, I find, maybe I assumed it was because I was male, but also because I'm not good at it. Dress shots are difficult to do.
They can be. Yeah. They can be, for sure.
Okay. For me, they're difficult to do. because it, out of context, I mean, do you include the whole dress? Do you include, you know, part of the dress? How do you basically, you know, how do you decide where the dress, you know, should sit? So I like to shoot it where it is, because it for me, it's not that it's just that it's easier, but it's also more real for the bride.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is a cop out. I don't know. Maybe I don't know how to place the dress properly. But this is one that if I do a wedding again, I'm going to do something like this. So
actually, if you can believe it, that's where the dress was when I got there.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of a room is this? Like what?
That's actually it's her friend's apartment.
Okay.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's an old it's a loft, and it's an old industrial building that's been turned into into condos, basically. And it's got this huge window on one end, and then it's this big long room.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was gorgeous. I walked in, and the dress was sitting there, and it was just perfect.
That explains the. I've never seen that kind of sprinkler system in an apartment before.
I know.
that's what threw me off. So this is like something in Gastown, Yaletown?
Yaletown, yeah, exactly.
Okay. I tell all that. I'm like Sherlock Holmes, Adam.
No, mm-hmm. You are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Sherlock Holmes of sprinkler systems.
Yep. And also, I'm going to go ahead and assume that she got married that day. So.
Yes, actually, she did. Mm-hmm. And it all went through.
Yeah, and she had good photos.
Well.
Obviously. So, Adam.
Yes.
Go ahead, fire away, buddy. What do you see in here?
Oh, we're about Amber's photo?
No, just in general. What's in the paper today? Yeah, of course.
I like the photo. I like the composition of it. I love just how the dress kind of fits in, you know, nicely like a puzzle right between their faces. So, I really like it. It's pretty striking.
I'm a pretty big fan of symmetry and balance, and that's exactly like there's that this dress is pretty much balancing in the dead center, and I like that a lot. Was that a conscious effort, or did you get lucky?
Very conscious effort. Mm-hmm. I actually took several photos. If you saw the group of photos that I took that one from, there's some just before and some just after that are almost exactly right, but I was waiting for that moment where they were just, you know, she was just moving her arm in the right way. Mm-hmm. And the dress was just in the right spot. And you know, and that is that's that thing of just taking a few photos before, a few after, just in case you don't actually get that shot.
Okay, but when you say it like that, it sounds like you got lucky, and I disagree. I think you put yourself in a good position to get that photo.
No, exactly. There was something I was looking for, mm-hmm. and I was taking the photos to make sure I got it.
Good job. And that extra difficult because white dress, and looks like what is probably a white wall.
Yeah.
Difficult to do, but yet it definitely pops out because of all the surroundings.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Adam and I will just skip ours this week then.
Mm-hmm, yeah, forget it.
Okay, Adam, you or me?
You go ahead.
Okay. So I wanted to take something, a picture of something simple yet complex and that served a purpose and something that everybody can recognize, and I just couldn't find that here in Germany. I don't know what it is about the architecture here where I live. I'm not a huge fan. I don't know. You know the older... Well, you live in an older house, Amber?
Yeah.
I mean, something about the architecture in that era in Vancouver I really, really like, and everything's very, very simple. My old apartment, for instance, my old apartment had one electrical outlet in the kitchen, mm-hmm. which very, very simple, like, you know, a little bit of a problem, but also I appreciate the simplicity of it all.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get into the whole architecture under the Marshall Plan in Europe, and that's going to get boring, so we'll skip that. Say, I couldn't find anything that really suited my what I wanted. So I saw the wooden camera my dad made for my daughter, and I decided to photograph that again. I think I've posted this on the show before. This camera. So for my daughter's birthday, I think, for her second birthday, my dad made her a wooden Leica M3 replica. And so that's what I photographed.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just great.
I got no problem with it. I like it. It is what it is. That's what it is. I know the story. I've seen the camera before. All that's different, you know, for me is just the fact that you've got a, you know, kind of a black and white background, and otherwise I've seen it.
Okay. Sorry to waste your time.
Yeah. Well,
for me, first of all, I have to say that's a beautiful camera. I can't believe your dad made that. Mm. It's kind of awesome that it's a Leica. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and the dials turn and the shutter clicks. Not that it doesn't
freaking
click.
Amazing.
But the trigger moves. So yeah.
That's so awesome. The shot's great. It's simple, but I mean, that's what you're going for. I like that you've got the light kind of coming from above. Really striking. The only thing that I sort of notice, and maybe it's just me because I'm a photographer and I look at photos all the time, and I just sort of gravitate towards things like this, but it almost looks like the lens is dirty.
Could be.
and that's just my eye catches on it, and that's the first thing I see every time I look at it, and mm-hmm. that's the only thing that I would say. But other than that, it's great.
My main issue with it is the shadow isn't perfectly symmetrical.
Yeah, there's that.
I mean, this is something I tried to do, and then again in my narrow window of, okay, you got 3 minutes before your kid screams. That's the best I could do, and I think I'd like to try it again, because this is a very, very simple setup. This is what I threw one bare flash with a snoot right over top using a tripod, hanging it directly over top of the camera, pointing straight down. Not very far out of the frame. Flipped a serving tray, a white serving tray over, and placed the camera on that, and there is no background. That's just empty room falling into black. And so it was really quite simple to set up, and I did my best to get it lined up perfectly, but again, I think I would have adjusted the flash slightly to get a more symmetrical shadow.
Yeah,
and then you would hang it on your wall.
Still not going to hang it on my wall, but I do like this the white foreground, black background move here. So I'll probably use this again for something.
Right.
Yeah. If I'm shooting, I don't know what, something small. So.
Okay.
Adam, what are we looking at?
All right.
Here?
Mine was a project that I put together today. So there's a story that goes with it. It's not a long story, but my wife got me a subscription to Popular Photography, like just as a present. So I guess it was one of those, you know, kids book order things. So she got me a subscription. I got the first issue yesterday evening. So when I was going to bed, I'm reading, and there was a article on do-it-yourself flash accessories. So I thought, okay, I don't have a challenge photo yet. Maybe there's an idea in here. So I started reading through it, and then there was links to check out other do-it-yourself projects. So I saw like a chip can snoot with a grid, and that was made with straws and a Pringles chip can. So kind of thought that was neat. But then I went onto the links and I started getting other ideas, and I saw this chip can strip light, which was essentially a Pringles chip can where you X-Acto knife out a chunk of it, and then you basically find a light softener of some sort to fill it in and duct tape it all up, and there you go. So today, after dinner, I set out to the dollar store to get the supplies, made myself this strip light, and then I thought, okay, perfect. But now I've got the podcast, so I better quickly photograph it. So I didn't really, as you can see, spend a lot of time on the effort of the photo. The effort went into the making of the item. So here it is. So you get the idea. It is a chip can light strip box, so a portable one. I think it's going to be pretty handy, just doesn't make for an exceptionally good photo.
This is a three light photo, isn't it?
It had to be. It had to, because the thing is putting out so much light that again, you can't tell what it is unless you, again, create a separation. So I needed a separation, and then to tell there was an actual flash in there, then I needed to have another light to light the flash. So it was actually done relatively quickly, but I did need three lights for it,
including the light in the photo.
Including the light in the flash itself. So two extra lights to light the flash and to light the strip box. But I'm interested. I think I'm going to make another one. Because I see potential for some neat catch lights and some portraits just with using two of these. So there it is. Yeah, again, Popular Photography idea that I had late last night.
Not a sponsor.
Yeah, and I do think maybe there's an upcoming episode there on do-it-yourself accessories, because there's lots of good ideas out there. Once I started looking, I saw tons of stuff, and I went out and bought a couple more chip cans to make some other stuff. So I'm going to try the gridded snoot. That's my next project.
The gridded. Oh, okay, I see.
So you basically cut up a whole bunch of black straws, if you can find black straws, and then you fill it in. You fill in one end, so you get just a little bit more directional light.
I've done that, and I believe IKEA is the way to go
for black straws.
Black straws, yeah. I think I got mine at IKEA.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
So you guys can. I don't know that it necessarily needs a critique. We can just chalk this one up to it is what it is.
Well, I didn't get the image, so all I have is a mental image. I'm very curious what this photo actually looks like, just based on what you were saying.
Perhaps I could email it to you.
Yeah. In about 15 minutes, then you can tell me that it's not a whole lot of anything.
Seriously, just following what you're describing, I have absolutely no idea what's in this image.
Well, picture a Pringles chip can on top of a flash with a whole bunch of light pouring out of it. It's actually
pretty well lit. I mean, if you're doing this as a product shot, you'd take a little extra time and lose the lens flare, I think.
But yes, absolutely.
I don't really care. It's if it's a product shot, yes. But if it's just for this, no, I don't mind lens flare. It's actually a good job lighting this, because it's not easy to light a light.
Oh, absolutely not.
Very difficult, especially to make it look. Natural, and this you don't have to make look natural. This is a product shot, so it doesn't matter. You can have that shadow where you like, but the fact that you took the time to actually rim light the Pringles can itself, that's where you make the big money, Adam.
All right. Yes. Yeah. Maybe the product the Pringles people are going to be calling.
Yeah. I wouldn't sit by the phone, but if you have a cordless phone, then you're fine. You can do whatever you want.
Right. What I
probably would have done is myself is just to make it even simpler. Is I wouldn't have lit it from the front. I would just hung some sort of a white bounce and use the actual light coming from it to fill in, which would be less intense, but it would, you know, save me 15 seconds.
Right.
So that's something. It's, I know you're all about being lazy. So next time.
Next time.
Okay. I've got the image here now. I see what you're talking about. You know, the only thing that maybe I would have done just to like excite it up a little bit is if you'd done like what you did, Alan, with the background kind of fading off, but then maybe do like a gelled light back there so that it was like a pop of color. Just make it look a little more exciting. That's my suggestion.
No, it's an excellent suggestion. I was just happy I finished the project in time.
Yeah, totally.
At one point, I was just going to be like, oh, screw it. I'm just going to take a picture of this Pringles can. I'm not going to finish this in time. Mm-hmm. So I was super thrilled that I got the thing done. And I can't wait to use it. So when I make a second one, I'm gonna put up my first portrait lit by just by two of these Pringles can lights.
Does look good. Now, the one thing before we move on that I actually really would have done,
okay,
is I would have kept a couple of chips and left them laying there.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Just to tie it in. But you probably scarf those down immediately.
You know what I did? I absolutely did not. I emptied the bag into a plastic bag, emptied the can into a plastic bag because I just wanted the can.
Defeating the entire purpose of Pringles.
Yeah.
So. Wow. Never once in my life have I ever purchased Pringles. True story.
No, but the cans are awesome, and they're all like silver lined too. So for as far as like a snooter for this purpose, like it could not be a better buy. And then I found a knockoff brand at the drugstore today that were the exact same can, but the chips were $1 instead of $3. So I bought three cans of the dollar version, basically saying I don't want the chips anyways. I just want the cans. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's shrewd, my friend.
Yeah. And then at the dollar store, I found like a really super thin bendable cutting board, mm-hmm. which is kind of like, again, just translucent enough to use as a cover for these things. So again, very, very accessible to make these things for whatever probably cost of $2 to make one of these.
I both love and hate the dollar store.
Yeah. There are awesome finds in the dollar store.
There are awesome finds, but sometimes the smell kind of gets me.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
And one time I was walking, this was many years ago, I was walking around the dollar store and somebody came up to me and said, oh, excuse me, do you work here? And I was like,
oh. Wow, you just insulted all of our dollar store employee listeners.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
All right. And so I said, well, no, I don't. Oh, you look like you should work here, she said.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. You look like you should work at the dollar store. That doesn't come up often. Yeah. Wow.
That's her way of saying you look friendly.
That was probably it. Yeah. So there's that. But there are lots of good finds in there. So I recommend just, you know, following Adam's advice. Engagement photos. That's what we're here is for, engagement photos.
Yes.
That's what we're lucky enough to have an expert on the show. Adam, expert in engagement photos.
Yes.
Amber, Adam took some engagement photos.
Yes, I recall seeing those.
A few months ago. And he invented engagement photos as a cartoon.
As a comic.
As a comic. He invented it, and then everybody in the world, some people like prior to him, predating him, ripped him off like in some sort of a time warp.
You've never seen no, we were clear, you've never seen one predated. You've never seen one. It does not exist. You will not find one.
Okay.
So that's a crack, that's a knock at me that does not exist. There was a guy, Amber, I don't know if you were on prior to this, but there was a guy in, where was it, Al? Do you remember? Netherlands, somewhere?
I thought it was Czech Republic or Poland.
Yeah, like 3 weeks after we had this big talk about what I had done with engagement photo making a comic strip, a guy in the Netherlands, and it was picked up by the Huffington Post about how creative this guy had done a engagement shoot and put it as a comic. Mm-hmm. And a listener actually got back to us and was like, hey, maybe you started a trend here. And the Huffington Post article made a big deal about how creative this was. And I was like, yeah, well, we just talked about that 3 weeks ago. And now Al's giving me a hard time about being right.
Right. Well, okay.
Just to clarify.
I completely missed that. So I'm going to have to look into it.
But if you decide to take any of your engagement photos and turn it into a comic book, you got a kickback to Adam. That's just
yeah.
Tribute.
Oh, yeah,
there's a
pack. You gotta pay your tribute.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's not no, but I wanted to, I've been looking forward very much to having Amber come and talk about engagement photos because A, she's good at it, and B, I'm not as good at it, and it comes up.
See right. That those two things go together. So
We call that synergy.
Yeah.
So do you? Yeah. Do you shoot engagements exclusively?
Well, I pretty much every wedding that I shoot, I do an engagement session for. And the reason for that is I find that it helps the wedding photos so much more if I've had a chance to get out with my clients and do engagement photos. They're just more relaxed. I know who they are with each other. It's not this big scary unknown of Amber's coming with her camera and it's going to be stiff and weird and awkward. They've had a chance to get used to the idea and get used to who I am and actually see that they look good when I take photos of them.
That's a lot of people. The one thing that everybody tells me anyways, is, oh, I don't look good in pictures.
Every single person.
Yeah. And then the first time you shoot them with a nice long lens and good and, you know, proper exposure and all the things that you do, all of a sudden, wow, they're into it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and also, if you think about it, I mean, the experiences that most people have with having their photo taken, it's either those really awkward photos that you get when you graduate, you know, go into this room, wear this outfit, hold the diploma,
have tons
you're
of pimples.
All weird and awkward. Yeah, it's so awkward. Or it's just random snapshots with your friends, which usually nobody looks good in those. So it's, you know, most people don't really have any experience with having professional photos taken and then also photos of themselves just being themselves. So it's hard and intimidating and, you know, it feels really awkward and scary. But once you get over it and you get to see how genuine and real and beautiful those photos are, it makes you feel a lot better about the wedding day.
Yeah. But on your wedding day, I mean, you have, 100 plus guests around, you have a lot going on. You don't really have time to get used to your photographer.
No, exactly.
But in an engagement session, typically how long in advance do you shoot that?
Well, I like to tell my clients to at least leave 2 months before the wedding. I have had it happen where I've done the engagement session the week before the wedding. Do not recommend that, but usually at least 2 months out is what I say.
And how long does a session last typically?
Well, that's up to debate. Some photographers do it a lot shorter. I do know a lot of photographers who only do a half hour or an hour. I personally like to do about 2 hours. That's just me. I find that gives me a lot of time to really talk to the couple because it's not just about taking the photos. It's also about me sort of chatting them up and getting to know them better and just getting that rapport. But that also gives us time to do, I usually do two locations, and they can have an outfit change in there too. So it's kind of it's like a little afternoon where we have this, kind of get together and get to know each other and also take photos.
And how many people are typically on this? It's you and just the two of them?
Yeah, usually just me and the two of them. I sometimes bring an assistant. It really depends on what I'm planning. But for the most part, it's just me and the couple. And I honestly do not recommend having any of their friends or their parents or anyone come along. I've had them try to do that before. I had one couple that brought their mom to help with an outfit change, and it was just awkward. It's always better if it's just them because then they can just be themselves.
Right. Right. Now it's good for them to get to know you, but why do you want to get to know them, and what do you honestly get to learn about them in those couple hours?
Well, what I want to learn about them is it's simple things like what makes them comfortable, what makes them awkward. Some people really don't like posing certain ways. Some people prefer to be silly and have fun. Some people would prefer to have more romantic photos. Just from posing and kind of getting them interacting and taking those photos, you start learning what it is that they're looking for in their photos. Also, I get what I do a lot is I'll get my couples pose sort of somewhere close to what I want, and then I'll get them to start talking to me or to each other, and we'll just start talking about something, or I'll get them talking about something with each other, and through doing that, I get them engaged with each other, and then I learn sort of who they are when they're alone, who they are when they're together,
right?
And that's to me, that's really the most important thing that I'm trying to capture, is who you are with each other, not just what you look like. It's that authenticity that I'm looking for. So that's really what I'm looking for, and how to get them to that place so that on the wedding day, I know how to get them back there again.
So do you try to tailor these engagement sessions and the wedding to their personalities?
Yeah, I would say that. It definitely, I do change how I'm shooting a little bit depending on who you are. Like I said, if people definitely want more of that romantic, dramatic sort of look, that's something I definitely go for more with certain couples, or some couples are just kind of silly and goofy and like to laugh and, you know, that and play around with each other. And that's something that I'll do more for those couples. So I would say I do definitely tailor it depending on what I see their relationship being like.
So prior to starting to shoot, do you meet with them ahead of time or just on that day?
Well, usually we've met at the at our initial meeting. So we've met, we had coffee, looked at the albums, chatted about the wedding. So that's sort of the first getting to know them for me. Like I said, it's like blind dating. You know, you don't know what they look like, you don't know who you're meeting. Mm-hmm. You have this hour where you sort of chat each other up and sort of, you know, get to know each other a little bit. But then I would say that the engagement session is kind of like the second date where you really get to know each other.
Right. Now, when you're tailoring these, to their personalities, what if you have two people who are in kind of stark contrast to one another? Does that ever come up?
I haven't really had that issue, honestly. Maybe I'm just lucky and I get couples who are really harmonious with each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what would you do?
What would you do? Well, you know, honestly, if that was the case, then I'd try to play that up. I mean, if he was being really stern and she was being really silly, I would try to just, you know, make her be playful with him. It would be something that I would accentuate. It's like if I had a groom that was really tall and a bride who was really short, I wouldn't try to make him look shorter. I would try to make them look the way that they are, because they know they're like that.
That's interesting. I mean, you look at a lot of photography, and definitely in movies. Like if you were to pull back on the shot in a lot of movies, you'll find that the actresses are sometimes standing on what we call apple boxes.
Yeah.
Like I don't know why I thought of this. It's not a current reference at all, but the X-Files was like this. Gillian Anderson had to stand on an apple box because Duchovny was so tall.
No, exactly. But I mean, that's different because they're trying to create a character for you and trying to create, you know, an illusion of who this person is. Whereas with photography of a couple, this couple knows who they are. They know that they have this height difference. They know that they, you know, she's quirky and he's not. And that's what they love about themselves. They love being who they are. They love each other. And I think that taking photos that represents them as different than who they are, it's not authentic. It's not really who they are.
I don't think it's going to stand the test of time either. I think
exactly
it would be kind of cute for the first month, and then all right, that was a gimmicky.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you shoot in these engagement photos in a studio or on location?
On location, always.
Okay.
Yeah, I never do in studio, and the reason is it's very stiff and very formal. And I prefer to, like I said, I keep coming back to it, but it's just all about that realness. And I want them to be relaxed. I want them to look natural. And that's always going to be much easier when you're outdoors.
And how do you choose a location? Do you have a bunch in mind that you basically have a book?
Yeah, I have a lot just in mind. I honestly, everywhere I go every day, if I'm just running errands, I'm always looking at locations. I'm always looking to see if this is a place that I can shoot. For me, it's just, I look for either really great architecture, great color, or I look for somewhere natural that has just something stunning about it, either really great trees or good view of the mountains, those sorts of things.
So if you're in Winnipeg, tough break.
Yeah, no, that would be a little tough.
When you look for architecture, what sort of things do you look for that's going to provide a good backdrop?
For me, architecture, I love anything a little bit gritty, a little bit older, like especially down in like downtown Vancouver. There's this area in Chinatown that has kind of gritty older buildings. There's great brick walls, you know, that sort of stuff, and good colors. Those are all things that really attract me. Mm-hmm. Anything that has good lines, like leading lines or repetitive lines, I really like that sort of stuff. It's hard to put your finger on, but those are the things that really draw me in. And for a location to be a spot that I want to shoot, it has to have a few different areas nearby that have those elements.
Hey, sweetie, you can come and say hello. can you say hello to everybody? Give it a sneak. Okay, cheers. All right. Like I said, an independent 2.5-year-old is a delight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're talking about architecture and what to look for. It's nice to have a lot of different options right nearby.
Exactly. Because if there's a location that has, well, it would have to be a pretty spectacular building all on its own for me to go to it. For me, it needs to be, you know, a location within a few walking distance of a few other locations. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's all going to be shots of this one location. And I really like to get variety.
Yes, absolutely. And there comes a time when you're shooting variety where it's too much. If you try to expand it too far, you end up getting nothing. But one of the things about shooting in Vancouver that I really like is that you can go from brick to ocean to trees and grass, you know, in the same block.
Exactly, yeah.
Not the same in Germany. That's a little tougher.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky here.
Yeah. And one of the things I look for not for engagement photos specifically, but for any time I use a backdrop, I love the exposed brick. Now, it's one of those things that you see a lot of pictures with the sort of the brick and mortar kind of exposed brick look. And there's a reason for it. I don't think it's overdone. I think it just looks so good that everyone likes to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I look for backgrounds that have personality without distractions.
Absolutely.
Which is exceedingly difficult here in Germany because it's just, I don't know what it is. In Vancouver, I find that even the distractions are pleasing. Like perhaps the sign on a building is done very, very well. And oftentimes that can be a distraction. So do you reuse them all the time? Like, do you have like 4 or 5 go-tos, and then, you know, if the couple can't come up with something personal, then you go to that? Or how do you tailor those backgrounds specifically to the couple getting their pictures taken?
Well, what I usually do is I ask my couple, because it's usually a collaboration of what we want to the session to be. And what I'll ask my couple is, you know, do you want more urban or do you want more natural? Is that what sort of are you leaning towards? And then from there, depending on how they reply, then I'll send them a few different locations that I'm thinking of. It might be places that I haven't gone yet or places I have shot, in which case I'd send them a link to a previous engagement session. But for me, if I go back to a session, go back to a location, it's always my challenge and always what I strive for to not shoot the same thing that I shot there before.
That's one of my questions I have. How do you make it so it's not same, same, but different?
It's difficult. And honestly, it's hard to really explain, but I really push myself to keep in mind what I did here last time and to absolutely under no circumstances do that again. And so, you push yourself to see it differently. It's a challenge.
Definitely, definitely challenging. When you, besides the putting the people in a good environment to shoot, What are these little things that you focus on, like the ring or stuff like that? What sort of things do you look for?
Well, you know, I look for little things like I actually really enjoy shooting their feet. If that sounds really funny, I know it does, but I find
it sounds funny until I've seen your photos, and then it doesn't sound so funny anymore.
There's something very, I don't know, there's personality and there's a little story there in how they're like, what shoes they're wearing and how their feet are sort of tilted towards each other, or the way that I like to have them hold hands and just take a photo of that. I really like when I've got them holding each other and the way that their arms are folded around each other, just kind of coming in and getting that just as a vignette. Mm-hmm. And maybe just like a little bit of her smile or something at the top. That I like capturing the little subtle moments of how they hold each other and what it's like to be with each other. Because it's not just about looking at each other or kissing each other. It's all the little things as well. The little off moments. And I like to capture all of that and sort of, instead of it just being, good photo here, good photo there, I like to make it sort of an overall story of that day together.
And it sounds to me like you're also painting around them a little bit to let them fill in the blanks.
Exactly.
The feet thing, I'm stuck on the feet thing because I've seen it done before and I like to try to do it. I'm not very good at it again. But that, to me, can say everything about somebody.
It does. It says a lot.
Because when I was a kid, I mean, I remember, this is a weird thing to remember, but I remember my dad's shoes. Because my dad probably had one pair of shoes for 10 years, like I do. But those were my dad's shoes.
Absolutely.
By the front door. And so, you know, and guys remember their shoes. Women, I mean, typically, this is going to sound very sexist, typically have more pairs of shoes than guys. Adam
true.
Has more, but assuming he's still on the phone.
I'm staying out of the way, man. Just go ahead.
I'm not making
just
fun of you.
Just taking it all in. Just taking it all in.
Adam, are you a shoe guy? How many pairs of shoes do you have?
I don't know. Four, maybe?
Four. And so if you were to throw everybody at that party threw all their shoes into a pile, could your kids pick your shoes out?
Yes, my running shoes for sure.
Absolutely. So what I'm saying is inadvertently your shoes become a part of your personality. And so shooting this way, focusing on something small like this, we're only going to spend another 45 minutes on this. So just don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really fascinated by that and how you can tell a story with someone's feet like that. So to me, that's my takeaway.
And the interesting thing too is like those little accessories, those little bits are, it's a snapshot of who you were at that time too. So as the photos age, as you age, you look back and see those and remember that time and who you were and how you dressed back then and those things too.
And you look at it and say, I can't believe I wore Crocs to my engagement session.
Actually, as a side note, I saw on a forum recently, a wedding photographer had this absolutely wonderful engagement session. Great couple, great outfits, except both of them showed up wearing those Vibram five-finger shoes.
No.
Yes.
On purpose?
And totally normal outfits otherwise.
But that must have been a choice.
Yeah, they wore them by choice, but I just, oh, wow.
that is one of those things that you'll end up seeing on Facebook, you know, hey, 30 awkward engagement shoots.
It's so awkward.
But on the other hand, if that's their personality, that's their personality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. So now I'm my advice to people who are engaged and getting engagement photos is choose your accessories wisely.
Well, you know what I do, and I totally recommend this to any photographer out there who is just starting out, wanting to do engagement sessions and wanting to make sure that their clients wear good outfits or at least have some guidance in picking their outfits and what not to do is I actually have a Pinterest board that's filled with engagement ideas. Mm-hmm. It's inspiration. And I have a booklet that I've put together. So I have like a little engagement magazine. It's online. It goes through all the info, like what to expect, thinking about, you know, what time of day to do it, what location you want, stuff like that. And then I have a link in there to the Pinterest board for their outfits. And I just have them go there and have a look through and sort of get inspired and take away what what sort of looks good and what not to do. And then from there, and honestly, since I've done that, my clients have their outfits choices have gotten so much better, and they always show up with some great outfits and accessories. So
that's a much better answer than I usually give when they say, hey, what should we wear? And I just say, I don't know.
Yeah. That's
white t-shirts, jeans. That's me. For black t-shirt, maybe black t-shirt. Bring a black t-shirt. That's what I say. No, I never
See,
know.
I love color, and I love detail, and I love accessories. So, anything that shows their personality.
Great.
So that's sort of what I'm trying to draw out.
Adam,
again, back to the authenticity. So,
Adam, do you remember getting your engagement photos taken?
I do. I remember you and your dad tag team.
Something
down
like
in,
that.
Kits Beach. Yeah, it is. Kits Beach. Your dad was helping out. He had a bounce board, and I remember you two arguing amongst each other about how it should be done.
I don't remember that part, but that just blends together. So
I remember thinking, if this wasn't free, this would be pretty Mickey Mouse, you know.
Well, I think that's probably not true, because the pictures turned out pretty good, and you know.
Yeah, they did.
It was we put yourself. I picked that was filmed back then too. We shot that on 35mm, and we went down to Kids Beach because you lived down there at the time.
Yeah, we lived down there.
So I knew it was a very personal place for you.
And that's also where we got engaged. Yeah,
right.
I proposed down there. Yeah.
Yep, and we shot that at the sunset. You weren't the kind of guy who said, "Hey, let's shoot this at noon on Tuesday."
Right.
It was you're fine with sunset, so we ended up getting some good results. Did some black and white and some color, but I think you and your wife chose what to wear. I probably had no clue what to say.
Right.
And no shots of your feet. So looking back, I should have done that.
Yeah.
I know that now.
Okay.
How do you pose people? Like you mentioned that you get them in a position, you know, you start them in a position, but do you have a few poses that you start with that are standard?
Yeah, I would say I do. I have sort of my go-to poses. But from usually what I do is I'll get people into a pose that's one of my go-tos. And usually for me, it's something that I've decided I want them to do based on what the background is or what kind of composition I'm doing, if I'm doing a really close-up or if I'm doing something more landscape. But like I said, then I'll get them to engage with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find that once I do that, the pose actually softens and they kind of adjust themselves and it becomes something natural that they would do. And that's sort of what I'm looking for, is instead of it being my pose, I want it to be their pose. And that's really how I try to pose people.
Natural light or do you bring a flash?
I do bring a flash. For the most part, I do natural. I really love natural light. It's soft, it's beautiful. If you know what you're looking for, you can find good directional natural light as well. But I do throw the flash in there sometimes if there's a certain effect I want to use, or I'm not liking the light the way that it's working at that moment. But I would say probably 95% of what I do is natural.
Great. So again, you don't book these sessions for noon?
No.
If you can avoid it.
If I can avoid it, there are times when you have to.
Yep.
Of course. But for the most part, I try to shoot about 2 hours before sunset.
And then if you're shooting at noon, then you end up shooting inside at the Granville Island Market.
Yeah, that happens.
Stuff like that. I mean, that's a good place. It's pretty decent light in there and nice colors. But a lot of people.
It
though.
Is. And it's fun. Actually, well, one cool thing you can do with all the people is if you get it just right, if you have an image stabilized lens, you can actually shoot them, drag the shutter a little bit, and actually get the movement of the people and just them standing still, which is pretty cool.
Right. I've seen that. Those are great images, actually. That's a great
photo tip. There's a photo tip right there.
Yeah. And if you do it with their feet, even you get double points.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a double bonus right there.
Do you shoot with prime or zoom when you're shooting these engagement photos?
I shoot with prime, and I actually shoot with prime most of the time. The only time I ever use a zoom is on a wedding day, and it's during the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
When and, you don't have oh, the and during the first dance, and that's it.
When you don't have the flexibility to
Exactly.
Shoot with prime. Now, when you shoot with the primes, do you shoot with one body, two bodies?
On the engagement session, I shoot with one body. Mm-hmm. I just find it's too much bringing the two cameras, and I feel like it's more intimidating if I have my whole, I have like the double strap. It looks like I'm, you know, ready for the SWAT team or something. It's, mm-hmm. it's a little too much. I want to be a little more relaxed and easy going. So during the engagement session, I just shoot with one body. During the wedding, I'll shoot with two bodies.
But you bring the two bodies to the shoot just to show them that mean business.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the bigger the camera.
I do tell them, though, during the engagement session that probably their most heard phrase from me will be, and if you just hold on a sec, I just want to change my lens.
Yeah, but
that's... Because I'm constantly changing them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think that's... oddly, it's kind of, you know... not comforting, but sort of inspires confidence in the subject, because it says you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're making...
I'm just really obsessed with lenses. I don't know.
It could be. Well, how many different lenses do you shoot with? How many different primes on an engagement?
Usually, I actually bounce between just three. Mm-hmm. It's my 85, my 35, and my 50. And I have a lot of people be like, really, you shoot with a 35 and a 50? Like, that's so cool. But I do find them, they're different enough that I like shooting with both of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Adam, you wanted to ask a question about the... Adam and I were discussing, I think, last week.
Mm-hmm.
On the show. We had some... This is an odd thing for us to give a care about. About your lenses.
I can't remember which lens we were saying. Al said that maybe you had... Was it the 50?
I said you had the 85 1.2.
And I said no. I said you had the 1.8 and you rent the 1.2.
You are correct.
Which?
I have the 50 1.2 and I have the 50 the 85 1.8.
Okay.
And I've rented the 85 1.2 and I want it. Oh, how I want it.
That's what I said. I knew you had one of the 1.2s. I thought it was 85 and then I said it might have been the 50, but Adam was correct.
All right, you were correct.
Yeah. Adam was correct for once.
Just have a really good memory for lenses. I don't know why.
No, because last week we talked about, you know, our favorite tool, and Adam said Pringles, and I said 85 millimeter lens.
a little bit of a difference.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. And so, no, my favorite, not just lens, but favorite tool is the 85 millimeter f1.8. It probably would be the 1.2 if I owned it, but I love that 1.8.
Oh, the 1.8's great.
Yeah, so that's why I recommend, you know, when you, that would be my go-to lens for shooting engagement stuff. And then go back, like you said, to the 35 and the 50. Those are the big three that I would look for. The 135 would be nice, but it's, I don't know, I just don't think you'd get the appropriate number of photos to justify owning it.
Yeah, that's honestly how I felt about the 135 when I've shot with it, is I feel like I just bring it out, shoot a few photos, and then I put it back again. Mm-hmm. It's a great lens. It's gorgeous. But yeah, I just feel like it's almost too long.
Right.
For what I want to do.
Yep. That's definitely, I would recommend. You own that one?
No, I've just played with it.
There you go. So when I say my recommendation would be rent that one. If you need it, don't buy it. I don't feel so bad. So there we go. That's it, Adam. I think we can go out and shoot some engagement photos now.
Yes, but not comics, because I have the copyright.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't even think about doing that. That's crazy. So, Amber, thanks very much for coming in and sharing with us.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
And weird edit point. Funny story, in the whole excitement of interviewing Amber this morning, I forgot to suggest a photo challenge. So Amber was nice enough to put one forth for us. Her idea for next week's photo challenge is connection. So that's pretty wide open. You can interpret it how you like. Adam, who isn't listening, I'll get a hold of you off air. And that's it for next week. Connection. Also, want to thank everybody for buying their Amazon purchases through our site. It's very helpful. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much. All right, now back to the show. Where can people look at all your photos? I should have said this at the top of the show, but we're going to put up a link on the site, and people should definitely go check out your photos. They're fantastic. Where's that?
You can find me at amberhughes.ca, or you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/amberhughesphotography.
Great. Adam.
Yes.
Where can people find your stuff?
SchwartzChronicles.com and Two Hosers Facebook.
Two Hosers Facebook.
Update. I put that video up and then it got taken down because apparently the clip from Yellow Submarine is copyright protected. So Facebook took it down and said I had to change the music.
Really? That doesn't yeah. surprise me.
Yeah, yeah. It's never happened on anything else before, not in Canada anyway. So that was I guess because the Beatles are the Beatles.
The Beatles sort of rule the world.
Yeah.
Even now.
And it was only like, 30 seconds, the front 30 seconds of that song. But they took it down. So I haven't reposted it. And anyways, the people who saw it, you're the lucky ones.
Adam bought a underwater.
Just a point and shoot for my daughter for Christmas, like a Nikon that's an underwater, shockproof, dustproof, everything proof. And we took it to the pool and took some photos of the kids playing in the pool in the water, underwater. And I had like a 30-second video that I put up just to show people that, hey, if you want a camera that you can beat the heck of at the beach or at the pool, this one's pretty darn good. The video looked pretty good.
It did look good. It did look
good. For $90. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
See, I think the good folks from Bobby Darin's estate probably wouldn't have forced Facebook to take it down.
Yeah, I should have gone that route.
Should have gone with Bobby Darin. I don't know how the Beatles go with YouTube, because YouTube has a different deal than Facebook. You can post stuff with music on YouTube, and they're cool with it.
Oh, but I did that through Facebook, though.
Oh, yeah, but you did it through Facebook. Well, it wasn't on YouTube that you posted it, right?
No, right. It was just Facebook.
Yeah. I don't know what the Winklevoss twins are up to in lawsuits, so yeah, they might have prevented that. It does either way. Even if you do it on YouTube, whatever, and it's cool, they're cool with it. It doesn't happen in Germany; it gets blocked because Germany right. doesn't have the same sort of deal with the music people.
Right. And where can people find your stuff?
No one's listening now.
Yeah.
AlanAttridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links that you need and a bunch of rants about YouTube. So until next week. Thanks to Adam and Amber, but get out there and make better photos.